Sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Today, Ted Walter joins me on the show. Ted was involved in the previous New York City 9/11 ballot initiative effort by the organization NYC Can. In 2009, to get a new investigation into the events of 9/11 on the ballot in New York City. That was a mammoth effort, and it ultimately failed. But a new group has formed in New York City called the High Rise Safety Initiative, and Ted is also part of this new effort. Today we'll be discussing this new ballot initiative effort. Ted, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Cheryl.
You're involved in these ballot initiatives. Can you tell us why we need a new investigation of what happened on 9/11? Didn't the 9/11 Commission give us all those answers?
No, the official account of 9/11 put forth in the 9/11 Commission report is largely based on testimony that was given by way of torture, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in Guantanamo Bay. And since the 9/11 Commission report came out, there has been an enormous amount of criticism of the report and research that has shown that the official account of 9/11 is false in many ways. One of the most important ways in which it's false, and one of the areas that it didn't even cover, was the collapse of World Trade Center Building 7. As well, its treatment of the collapse of the Twin Towers is also inadequate, as was the later reports issued by the National Institute of Standards and Technology. When you look at Building 7, for those who aren't familiar with it, all you really have to do is Google it and look at video footage of the collapse, and you'll see that it collapses in a way that just doesn't appear to be consistent with natural causes or being hit by debris and having fires burn in it throughout the day. And it comes down symmetrically at free fall speed for the first roughly 2.5 seconds of its collapse. And according to thousands of engineers and architects and scientists, this really is overwhelming evidence that the building was brought down by controlled demolition. So that's one of the many aspects of 9/11 that is not really dealt with adequately, that the official account of 9/11 doesn't explain.
Could you give us a little background information on the NYC CAN efforts and tell us why it failed and then how this one will be different?
Sure. Well, for your listeners who may not be familiar with NYC CAN, it's an organization in New York City that represents 9/11 family members, first responders, and survivors pushing for a new investigation into the 9/11 attacks. And the ballot initiative that we sponsored in 2009 would have established a local commission in New York City to investigate 9/11. And ultimately, what happened was that we, in 2009, we collected 80,000 signatures, put it on the ballot, and the city of New York blocked it from going on the ballot, essentially challenging the legality of a number of the provisions in the petition. And so what we have going on currently is a new ballot initiative where we have taken the lessons learned from the first one, and we are trying, you know, essentially a different approach to having a charter amendment that will be considered legally valid. So I can get into the details of the first petition and how this one corrects for those mistakes, if you would like.
This is available on the website, is it, on the High Rise Safety Initiative website?
Yes, it is. If you go to highrisesafetynyc.org, you can download the petition, and there is a discussion of sort of how the first petition, sort of what the challenges were to the first petition and how we corrected for that this time around. The main challenge of having a valid charter amendment in New York State is that essentially the law that you're proposing, it has to fit into a city charter. So a city charter is a very basic foundational document that lays out the structure of your city. And one of the things that case law in New York State has said about ballot initiatives is that it, essentially what you propose has to be substantially related to an existing provision in the charter. And that was one of the main ways in which we failed in 2009. And so what we're doing here is simply modifying the duties of the Department of Buildings so that they have to conduct an investigation into the collapse of Building 7.
Often people who criticize the 9/11 truth movement use the argument that we're somehow hurting the victims' family members by bringing this all up and challenging the official story. But aren't they behind this ballot initiative and the previous one?
Yeah, they are. As I said, NYC CAN is an organization that is largely consists of 9/11 family members and first responders and survivors. And so we had, back in 2009, over 100 family members support the petition. This time around, fewer family members are directly involved just because time has passed, and I think many of them have moved on and don't have the sort of stamina to keep fighting for this issue. However, there are still many family members involved, and they really see this as potentially the best opportunity that we might ever have to bring about a new investigation.
Now, I know in the last ballot initiative, the ballot initiative itself had created who would sit on this new investigation, and I understand that was one of the problems, or part of the problem of them not accepting it or not being passed. How will that be handled this time?
Yeah, so that was another failing of the first petition, was that what it did was actually designate the members of the commission specifically who would be sitting on the commission, and that was sort of in violation of how public officers can be appointed or elected in New York State. For this petition, there's simply no appointment of any public officers. What we're doing is just requiring an existing department within the New York City government to conduct this investigation. And then it would be up to the commissioner of the Department of Buildings to determine how he or she would go about conducting the investigation. There is a forensic engineering unit that exists within the Department of Buildings that is probably likely to be the unit that would be assigned to conduct this investigation. They conduct investigations every day of minor building collapses that occur in New York City, like things that occur during construction or demolition or things like that. And they do probably have the expertise to do something like this. Of course, probably much of the work would also be contracted out to labs and other investigators.
Can you just give us kind of an overview of the timelines and the signature collection and what it involves, the deadlines that you have to meet, et cetera?
Absolutely. So right now what we are doing is we're in the process of fundraising to raise enough money in order to collect signatures. And we have to, essentially, we have to collect roughly 110,000 signatures between May and sort of the end of the summer. There's a two-step process to the petition, filing the petition with the city. On July 3rd, or by July 3rd, we have to submit our first petition that has at least 30,000 valid signatures. And we're actually trying for that first submission to have 75,000 to ensure that we have enough valid signatures. And then the second petition has to be submitted around September 5th, or by September 5th. And that would have to have an additional 15,000 signatures. The point of that second submission is that with the first submission, we are essentially giving it to city council, and they have to vote on whether to actually, they could actually make it law themselves, or they could vote to put it on the ballot. But if they take no action, the purpose of the second petition is to sort of override their lack of action and force the initiative to go on the ballot. So essentially by the middle of the summer, we have to have collected 110,000 signatures. And in order to fund that, we are trying to raise $250,000 by June 1st. So far, we've raised about $25,000. So we're, you know, sort of the beginning, and we've raised about 10% of what we have to raise. We've had about 400 people donate so far, and we're really hoping that we can get up to 3,000 donations. If we can hit that mark, we feel like we'll have raised enough money to fund the whole petition drive. And ultimately, we feel like 3,000 is not such a large number given how many people are out there that want to see a new investigation.
Yeah, and I know I was involved in gathering some of the signatures for the last ballot initiative that the NYC CAN did, and I was really surprised at how long it takes to get, you know, 50 signatures. And so this time around, you're hiring a company to do this, is that correct?
Yeah, we are. I'm going to be overseeing it with them, but essentially, yeah, what we did in 2008, 2009 was through volunteer efforts, we collected about 10 or 15,000 signatures, and the remainder was collected by paid petitioners, myself and a couple other people managing that petitioning staff. So this time around, we are going to be working with a firm that specializes in petition drives and can collect 110,000 signatures relatively quickly and you know, in a month, month and a half, 2 month period. And that essentially ensures that if we can raise the money, that the signatures will get collected. The actual signature collecting phase is probably the easiest phase of all of this process.
I know in this ballot initiative, it's only focused on Building 7 and not the Twin Towers. Can you tell us a little bit about that and why that decision was made?
Absolutely. There's really two main reasons. The first is really about what we think, being pragmatic in what we think we can get past. You sort of always have to make that judgment and say, well, what are people likely to support? And we feel that in the end that the collapse of Building 7, if we get on the ballot and we can have a full-fledged election campaign, we can have ads of Building 7 on TV, we can have mail discussing Building 7, and that people in New York will really be willing to support a new investigation into the collapse of that building when they see it and when they hear about it. And it doesn't stoke the sort of deep issues that people have with 9/11, whereas if we were focused on the towers, or if it was the towers and Building 7, we think that we would encounter much more resistance. So secondly, we also believe that if this does get passed, that it'll be much easier to force the Department of Buildings, or the Department of Buildings is much more likely to conduct an honest investigation if it's into the collapse of Building 7 as opposed to the Twin Towers. And we think the Twin Towers are such a big collapse and issue to look at, and people will have their sort of preconceived notions about why it collapsed. We think with Building 7, it's much more likely that they'll take an honest look at it. They'll have less reservations, and it's just harder for them essentially to lie or to render a false account of why that building collapsed, because it's so obviously a controlled demolition and the evidence is overwhelming.
Right, and it wasn't hit by a plane. So
it was not hit by a plane, exactly.
Can't use that. Now, do you know, since 9/11 and the NIST report on how all the towers fell, has anything changed in New York City? That was the first time in history that three steel-framed high-rises collapsed,
allegedly due to fires.
Has anything changed in how to protect this so this doesn't happen in the future? Has anything happened?
To my knowledge, the building codes have not changed in any sort of significant way. There have been some changes. NIST likes to talk about how there have been changes to egress, you know, ways of egress, making staircases wider, having more sprinklers, things of that nature. But really, as far as like the structural integrity of buildings, very little has changed. And, you know, and that's an indication that people have not taken the investigations into the World Trade Center disaster seriously, and probably because to some extent some people do realize really what their true causes are of the collapses were, and therefore these investigations just aren't relevant. And also a lot of people just don't pay attention to, they think of 9/11 as a separate thing outside of their normal reality. So if a building collapsed on 9/11, oh, that's because there were all these exceptional circumstances that led it to collapse, even Building 7, even though it wasn't hit by a plane. So it's kind of outside of people's normal way of thinking. But ultimately, it's the fact that I think a lot of people sense that the collapses were actually not caused by natural causes, therefore it's not really relevant to building normal, strong buildings.
Now, do you have the support of any local politicians or engineers or architects?
We do have the support of some local New York-based engineers and architects. They have signed on to the campaign to support it, and we obviously anticipate that more and more will be coming on in the coming months, and especially when we get into the election season. As far as public officials, you know, not many do. We have had in the past, you know, we have reached out to many city council members in New York, many of whom were quite persuaded that Building 7 did come down by controlled demolition. However, ultimately, at this phase, we don't think that their support is really that essential, because if this was something that they really strongly supported, they would be passing this law themselves or pushing for a new investigation. And the ballot initiative is essentially circumventing them and the normal legislative process.
And what kind of media coverage are you getting, or are you getting any at this point, especially from the mainstream or the corporate media?
Yeah, well, we're not, right now, we're really not trying to get media coverage. We feel like the media coverage is not going to benefit the campaign until later on, probably once all the signatures are gathered. And then if there's a legal situation with the city, at that point, definitely we would start doing more media outreach. And then clearly into the fall, that is the name of the game, and that's our goal, is for this to be widely discussed in the media. And if we do get on the ballot, we're very confident that it will. And that's one of the main reasons why we're pushing this campaign, is that we think it will be, if we can get on the ballot, you know, a watershed moment for people for the first time to really widely, in the right way, be discussing 9/11, the collapse of Building 7, and the need for a new investigation.
In order to sign the petition, you have to be a voter in New York City, correct, in one of the five boroughs?
Yes, correct.
And can someone sign that online, or do they have to have the petition in front of them?
They do have to have the petition in front of them. It is a paper petition. It's a legal document. If somebody's by themselves, mm-hmm. they can sign it and then get it notarized by a notary, or you can do it with your friend, where if your friend is a New York City voter, you're a New York City voter, you can each sign the petition and have the other person witness it. You just need a registered New York City voter to witness the signing of the petition and to verify that they witnessed it.
And then can they mail it in? Or
yeah, so they can mail it to our address, which is on our website. It's 1 Penn Plaza, suite number 6293. But again, go to the website for that information. It's highrisesafetynyc.org.
Let me also ask you, if this gets passed, how does it get paid for?
One of the requirements to have a valid charter amendment passed by voter initiative in New York State is that you actually have to propose a way that your amendment would be financed if it has a fiscal impact. And so we've estimated that any investigation, whether it's Building 7 or another building collapse in the future, that sort of the average, what you could expect, is a $1 million per year, maybe over 2 years, investigation for a large-scale building collapse. And so to fund that $1 million annually, we've proposed a 0.9% surcharge on construction permits issued by the Department of Buildings. The Department of Buildings last year raised about $110 million, so this would add that sort of $1 million extra onto what the department raises through permits to fund these investigations. And then after the investigation of Building 7 is finished, the tax won't go away. It will continue to raise $1 million a year, but if the fund, the special fund, exceeds $3 million, the tax would go away. And then if the money is ever used for another investigation in the future and the funds are depleted below $1 million, the tax, the surcharge, would be reinstated. But yeah, again, it's a very small tax, affecting a very small tax base, so we don't anticipate having any serious political opposition to the tax itself.
Yeah, that sounds like a brilliant way of getting the funds. Do you have any celebrity people who could help you out with this?
We are working on that. We do have one supporter, Mark Stepnoski, who's given a lot to NYC Can over the years and has given some funds, sort of the seed funding for this initiative. He's our main celebrity supporter right now. We're working on that. I mean, we think that people will be coming forward to help us raise awareness of the campaign very soon.
And is there anything that I haven't asked you about this that you'd like the listeners to know about?
Well, I would just say, for those who are listening, I think this is probably one of the better opportunities that we will ever have to actually bring about a real investigation. There are many challenges. There is the challenge of getting the city to conduct an honest investigation once this is passed. But again, I feel like our opportunities are not many. And therefore, for everyone who wants to see a new investigation, we're really counting on your support to help us to give this strategy a chance to succeed. We cannot guarantee success. There are the legal hurdles that we have to clear, especially. But we feel that it's a valid opportunity. And we're hoping that everyone who wants to see a new investigation supports it to give it a chance of success.
Well, Ted, I really want to thank you for all your efforts. I know you worked really hard on the first ballot initiative, and I'm really glad you're involved in the second one. And if people want to help out in any way they can go to the website highrisesafetynyc.org.
All the info is there on the website highrisesafetynyc.org.
Well, thanks again for all your involvement on this, and perhaps we can do another interview as this progresses to let people know where you're at with the whole process.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me.
You were just listening to an interview with Ted Walter of the New Ballot Initiative Project to get a new investigation into the collapse of World Trade Center Building 7, the third building that collapsed on 9/11 and which wasn't hit by a plane. It collapsed in 6.5 seconds, a 47-story steel frame building, and was not mentioned in the 9/11 Commission report except for in one footnote. And again, the website is highrisesafetynyc.org. Mark Stepnoski is not the only celebrity who questions the official story of 9/11. Some of the more outspoken ones are Ed Asner, Roseanne Barr, Willie Nelson, and Daniel Sunjata, to name just a few. To see a very long list of the celebrities who question what we've been told about 9/11, go to the website patriotsquestion911.com. And again, that's patriotsquestion911.com. And speaking of people who question the official account of 9/11, there are currently 2,162 architects and engineers who have signed a petition demanding a new and independent investigation. This number continues to grow as more and more architects and engineers are exposed to the overwhelming body of scientific evidence for controlled demolition of the Twin Towers and World Trade Center Building 7. To expose yourself to this evidence, if you're new to the 9/11 Truth Movement, the Architects and Engineers website is ae911truth.org. And again, that's ae911truth.org. The 9/11 Commission report has been discredited, and many of the commissioners themselves have stated that they were obstructed and that their report is not the full picture. In fact, their legal counsel, John Farmer, wrote a book about it in which he states that the truth of what happened is very different from what the 9/11 Commission report tells us. Author David Ray Griffin has also written the book called The 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions, in which he outlines over 100 omissions and distortions in the 9/11 Commission report. I'd encourage you to check that out. Since the new high-rise safety ballot initiative in New York is focused on World Trade Center Building 7, if you're new to this or want more information on Building 7, the third building that collapsed on 9/11 in 6.5 seconds, I would recommend reading the following book, also by David Ray Griffin. It's called The Mysterious Collapse of World Trade Center 7, Why the Final Official Report About 9/11 is Unscientific and False. NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, was charged with the job of investigating how World Trade Center Building 7 fell and then issued a report. The architects and engineers mentioned earlier have challenged NIST on their shoddy science in their final report, with minimal or insufficient response, and they have recently hired a lawyer who has sent a letter to NIST demanding a meeting between NIST and a panel of these architects and engineers to discuss the scientific flaws in their report. You can see this letter on their website, ae911truth.org. We'll see what happens there. Here's just a quick list of some of the many facts surrounding Building 7 and the Twin Towers that indicate that we haven't been told the truth about what really happened on 9/11. Larry Silverstein leased the World Trade Center complex in July of 2001, roughly 6 weeks before 9/11, and insured it for terrorist attacks. He made billions of dollars in insurance money after 9/11. He's quoted as saying during a PBS program in 2002, referring to World Trade Center Building 7, "I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. And I said, we've had such terrible loss of life, maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made the decision to pull, and we watched the building collapse." Now, to pull a building is an industry term for controlled demolition. Normal office fires and ones caused by jet fuel do not get anywhere near hot enough to melt steel. Many eyewitnesses reported seeing and hearing explosions going off. Janitor Willie Rodriguez was in the first basement of the North Tower when explosions went off in the basement seconds before the plane hit the building. He testified before the 9/11 Commission, but was never mentioned in their final report. There were many other eyewitnesses who reported experiencing explosions at the World Trade Center on 9/11, including first responders and journalists. They're documented or referenced in David Ray Griffin's factual book, The Mysterious Collapse of World Trade Center 7, Why the Final Report About 9/11 is Unscientific and False. Nanothermite was found in the dust samples from the World Trade Center collapses. Nanothermite is a highly explosive material. World Trade Center Building 7, all 47 stories, collapsed in 6.5 seconds. The security company for World Trade Center Building 7 and the Twin Towers was called Securicom. President Bush's brother Marvin Bush had worked for the company during the 90s, during which time fireproofing upgrades were made. And Bush's cousin, Wirt Walker III, was CEO of Securicom through 2001, including 9/11. The 9/11 Commission was run by Executive Director Philip Zelikow. Philip Shannon, a New York Times reporter, wrote a book called The Commission in which he said that Zelikow prevented any of the commissioners from striking out on their own in the investigation. And Zelikow was largely responsible for the commission's final product, the 9/11 Commission Report. And he says that Zelikow had secretly outlined this book and hence had determined its conclusions in advance before the commission's staff had even begun to work. Zelikow was especially close to Condoleezza Rice. And these are just a few of the many, many facts that shed light on the unscientific and false report that the 9/11 Commission report was. So as you can see, we really do need a new investigation into the events of 9/11, and World Trade Center 7 is a good place to start, as the smoking gun that it appears to be. So to get more information on how you can help out with the ballot initiative in New York City, the website is highrisesafetynyc.org. I'm going to end the show today with this very powerful song composed and sung by very talented local musicians Carl Seeger Henry, Gary Fox, and Mark Saunders. It's called Building 7, and here it is.
Building 7, the smoking gun. It tells the truth about what was done to me and you and to the world. It tells the truth. It tells it true. 9/11, Building 7. Oh, 9/11, Building 7. At the World Trade Center, three buildings came down, hit by two planes, panic all around. But Building 7 had barely a scratch, not hit by plane, yet it still collapsed, and office fires were blamed for that. Building 7, the smoking gun. It tells the truth about what was done to me and you and to the world. It tells the truth. It tells the truth. 9/11, Building 7. Oh, 9/11, Building 7. The first responders saw molten steel. They heard explosions, swore they were real. And we all watched a scene surreal. Those buildings fell with roaring blast. A demolition controlled and fast. Building 7, smoking gun. It tells the truth about what was done to me and you and to the world. It tells the truth. It tells the truth. 9/11, Building 7. Oh, 9/11, Building 7. We want the truth. What's the real cause? So many questions, it gives one pause. The official story, so full of flaws. Our leaders command us to just move on. We're here to tell you we won't move on. We're here to tell you we won't move on. Here to tell you we won't move on. 'Cause Building 7's the smoking gun. We see the truth about what was done to me and you and to the world. It tells the truth. It tells the truth. 9/11, Building 7. Oh, 9/11, Building 7. Oh, 9/11, Building 7. 9/11, Building 7.
This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.